Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Podcast Network, powered by Omaha Audio. Cousin Sal coming to you Wednesday morning. Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. We have babyface Joel Solomon producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren the Parlay Kid, Darren the Parlay Birthday Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Wow, another birthday parlay, kid. I don't know how you keep doing this. Good job by you. 5-3? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Yes. 53.
Okay, nice. There you go.
53. And voice sounds like probably like 83 in my vocal cord years, but at 53.
It's all the smoking. You probably wish you hadn't smoked as much, right? And then
I never should have. Don't start, kids. Don't start smoking.
Don't start. And if you're James Baby Doll Dixon, don't ever stop, please. Actually, little known fact, Parlay Kid was conceived in the parking lot of the Tri-Village Little League fields right there in Greenlawn. So it's important, Bri. I don't know if you even knew that as a brother. It's important people appreciate the history behind the Parlay Kid.
Yeah, I didn't know it. I didn't know it.
You didn't know? No. Okay. Now you and everybody else knows. Mikey Meatballs knows. It must be embarrassing. Hey, we got a lot of NCAA. You know what? We have a surprise for you, Parlay Kid, in a few minutes. We have the NCAA games, the Thursday games. We're going to go over all the matchups. We're going to pick an East and West region winner, even though I think we already did that. And we may have been off a little on our selections, but we get to do it again. That's the beauty of this tournament. I do want to mention that World Baseball Classic, I've come around on this. I don't know if you guys heard me on Extra Points, but I really like this tournament. As far as like the every 4 year events, sports events, I put it right up there. Despite the fact that the U.S. lost to Japan, I should have kept my heel streak alive. I bet the no buzzer beaters winner, Japan over U.S. would have been a likely way to follow that. But no, I had to go the other way. And the greatest baseball player of the 21st century, Shohei Ohtani, got Angels teammate Mike Trout on a 3-2 slider. Team Japan wins 3-2, final score. Aaron Judge actually said he wouldn't have been able to hit that pitch in a million years. So that debate is over, right, babyface? That's it. We don't have to talk about it anymore.
Come on, stop it. You know, USA would have won had Aaron Judge play. This is why you have to send a redeem team next year. This is just like the U.S. men's basketball team. And now we have to send our best.
Yes. Well, we did, but we sent them to Japan. It was Shohei Ohtani. Babyface is sending me all these stats and everything. I was like, oh, you got to see this Ohtani stat. I'm like, no, you got to see it. He's the best. I keep saying it over and over, but I really do, Parlay Kid. I love this tournament. It's not like I made a lot or any money off of it, but the intensity with the matchups is like, it's right up there with the World Series. I mean, just play the World Series now. Why do we have to wait 175 games with playoffs so you can get meaningful outs in March? Did you get to watch?
Well, why don't they just have a true World Series then, Sal? Why don't the World Series champ go play the best teams from the other countries and see who the real best team in the world is then at that point? I don't get too excited about this. I don't get excited about exhibition sports for the most part. This is a little bit more than an exhibition, but we have our best, then maybe it's a little different.
Well, but it's interesting. Yeah, for sure. But the players didn't treat it, at least most of the other countries' players don't, all the other countries' players don't treat it as an exhibition. This is it for them. This is the, even though they're not getting paid. I know it's tough.
I get that. I do get that. I respect the tournament. It was, seemed like the fans, especially the international fans, were really into it. So I respect for that. For me, it's not my cup of tea. It's just not my cup of tea.
All right. Harry, did you watch it at all?
Yeah, I watched. Sal, you're right about Ohtani. Can we put to bed that maybe that Trout is, people want to make him the greatest baseball player out there? I mean, you could have given him 10. I would have bet Ohtani's going to strike him out at minus 500 after that first pitch.
Trap it on Trout. This is amazing.
Of course, Aaron's got to take it too
Trout
far.
You could have given Trout 10 strikes, and he would have missed every single pitch last night. He was a fool last night at the plate.
Wow. I think he only swung and missed three times, 12 times all last year, Bry, or something like that. And one at bat, swung and missed three times. And he did make him look foolish, but let's not get too crazy here with the Trout sucks stuff. I mean, you got to blame the coaching.
I
didn't say sucks.
I said not the best player in the baseball. That's all.
You got to blame the coaching, is what I say, for the U.S. team, Bry.
Did Alonso get one hit in this whole thing?
I'm not even sure he played.
Did he play? He didn't bat. I think he had seven at-bats in the whole thing.
Do you think it would be better, though, to do it, like, if you're going to do it, like, every 4 years, like, after the World Series, instead of before the regular season, so the injuries aren't, you know?
I think you get even fewer participants there if it's after the season. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works, but there's a reason for it. Bry, what were your thoughts real quick?
No, it's funny. I only watched bits and pieces of it. I mean, I watched some of the main games. I felt like once they got into the actual playoff, then it started getting really fun. I mean, it definitely is fun for these other countries. I mean, the crowds are insane. It is a really good idea for overall for baseball, just because everything about baseball is negative over the last 10 years. So I do like that part of it. I do appreciate actually a lot of the American players actually played in it. I'm actually surprised how many did participate. We probably needed some more pitchers in that probably too. Our pitching staff wasn't great, but it
shows some excitement. Yeah. Aside from the fans, it reminds me of the Ryder Cup, like these golfers we bet on all the time and they win tournaments and you don't see any reaction. Then they're going nuts. They're pumping their fists. And so I don't know. It was just something nice to see about baseball. All right. Listen, the Parlay Kid surprises here. So let's bring him in right now. All right, here he is. Let's bring in Darren's birthday surprise, coming to us from a place very special to the Parlay Kid's heart and also his tax donations. A man who can provide his own drum roll, University of Dayton Pep Band Director, Dr. Willie Morris. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Yes. How's everything? It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Yeah, look how excited you are, Parlay Kid. Dr. Morris, I have to tell you, before we get to the Parlay Kid, a University of Dayton grad, and aside from Coach Musselman running around the court in the nude, the Dayton Pep Band, I have to say, is the best story of the tournament. I mean, you guys stepped up and sat in for Fairleigh Dickinson, who didn't have a band, right? They didn't have a band. It's not like you tied them up and confined them to the locker room so you guys could shine, right? But tell us how this happened.
Well, Jason Young, the senior AD, one of the senior ADs, he happened to call me and said, we understand you're the guy to call if we need a band. And I said, yep, I'm that guy. So what are you looking for? They had just won their conference tournament. Actually, they didn't win their conference tournament.
Right.
Mary Mack, the school that's in that tournament, won the tournament. But Mary Mack's ineligible because
they have a band.
They're coming from Division II to Division I. So they kind of have a probationary period. So Fairleigh Dickinson was the second runner up, so to speak. And they knew they were coming and they knew that they'd be in the first four. So he called 6 or 7 days before the first four started and said, we're coming to Dayton. We'd like you guys to be our band. And I said, of course, we can make that happen. My concern at that time was that I thought we would also, the Dayton Flyers would also be in the NCAA tournament or the NIT. And once they got here, I found out that we played for them in 2019 when they were here for the first four tournament. So, of course, we thought we were going to win our tournament. I found a friend, a graduate from University of Dayton here in the music department, and his band, Carlisle High School. They subbed, most of his students and some of mine, they subbed for us on the first round of the first four. So that's how we got tied into that.
And so, your school, Dayton, did not make the tournament, and they said, screw it, we don't want to play any basketball anymore. They turned down any invitation to the NIT or the other 17 postseason tournaments that are going on. But I feel like, so then you guys go and play for Fairleigh Dickinson, and I feel like you inspired their incredible win over top seed Purdue. What do you think? Did the coaches or any of the players thank you?
I'm going to have to tell you, I feel the same exact way. And even their senior AD, Jason Young, came up and said, you know, you guys must be our lucky charm because every time you've played for us, we've won. So, and the students in the fire, they certainly believe that as well. You know, we had to learn that fight song, which they had never even heard in the history of the school. They had someone write their fight song for, but no one was there to play it. So I got the, they sent me the score. I had it arranged and extracted from the score and played it for the first time.
Beautiful. So now they won, and then you played again in the second round, and that didn't go as well. But still a monumental upset there over Purdue. Do you feel worried? Are you worried, though, that some of your own band members are now going to enter the transfer portal, as so many athletes do?
We like the whole band to enter the transfer portal so that, you know, yeah. Any school that needs a band, they can recruit us, and we'll come that way. We've done it for a lot of different schools since we've been doing the first four. So we're the mercenary flyer pet band. We'll go where the job is.
I love it. Okay, now Parlay Kid, this is a nice surprise for you, right? You didn't expect the band leader.
It's a very nice surprise, Willie. Dr. Morris, class of '92. It seems that you got to Dayton in '93, about 30 years ago. So I just missed you, but I could say, and you could vouch for this, the Dayton fans are the best fans in the country. Am I correct?
There is no doubt about that. The best basketball fans in the country.
And by Dayton not making the tournament this year, would the band have traveled to the tournament sites wherever the team was going to be?
Yes.
Is that something that's in the budget? So they kind of screwed you guys by not making the tournament, I guess.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. We were disappointed. We were looking forward to continue to cheer on our Flyers.
Well, we thought this year was supposed to be a big-time year for the Flyers. So I was very disappointed, I must say. And I see that we already did today. I got some news. One of the players entered the transfer portal. So I'm sad to hear that.
Yeah.
But we'll be back. Anthony Grant is a good coach. He's a little bit maligned, but seems like to be a great guy. Do you know Coach Grant personally?
Yes. We speak often at the games, and we know of each other. And he's a great. You're right. He's a great coach. He's going to get the right players under him, and off we go. We're going to do. The Flyers are going to be in the dance. I have no doubt about that.
That's it. I look forward to visiting the arena soon and watching that band play. Great work. We're very proud of you. Like you said, you guys are the leaders of that best fan base in the country.
Hold on.
My time is up, I think.
Okay. Your time is up. Well, you know, now here's the thing, Dr. Morris. The Parlay Kid didn't play any instruments in high school or college. He considered that all beneath him, but you didn't, thank God. And so you're a renowned saxophone player, correct?
I am.
Okay, it would be great to put a cherry on the Obi Toppin for the Parlay Kid's birthday. Would you mind playing him a little birthday tribute right now, if you could?
Here's a little happy birthday song for you right here.
All right. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. I got a tear in my eye right now.
I was just going to say, you're crying. It takes a lot to bring the Parlay Kid to tears, but you did it, Dr.
That's
Morris.
That's emotional.
Well,
my gosh.
Thank you so much. And,
you are indeed welcome.
Yes, Parlay Kid is going to make a nice, sizable donation now to the for the percussion section of the band. Thanks again, Dr. Willie Morris, and say hello to the Dayton Pep Band. By the way, they are the official Pep Band of the Extra Points Podcast Network. I'll tell you that right now.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks again, Doctor.
Yes, thanks.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That was great.
All right. There you go, Parlay Kid. Very nice.
I was excited. That was, guys, that was very touching. I appreciate that. That was nice.
Yeah.
That's nice, Dave. That was nice. That's the best thing that's going to happen by far on my birthday today.
Is it really? Wow. Well, yeah. I hope not. I thought he was good. I think he did a nice job. Parlay Kid, though, Babyface, you and I cooked that up at what, like 8 o'clock last night? Let's go.
Look, I mean, it was either that or $100 gift card to Friendly's, and we figured, you've had enough.
There are no more Friendly's. All right, listen.
I tell you what, Dr. Morris, honestly, he's right. That Dayton band is always dynamite. And
yeah.
Class act. Dayton is just a class act school, Harry.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Very good. It's too bad the basketball program doesn't match what everything else about it is. Really, right. It's a shame.
Right. Mm. All right. Well, let's talk about these basketball games. There are four on Thursday. You know, I was with Tate Frazier on One Shining Podcast yesterday. And Harry, by the way, he said people are reaching out to him on social media saying, come get your boy, Harry, in regards to this Coach Painter slander. You went out there and you said Coach Painter sucks and Parlay Kid said he was great and you wanted an apology for Parlay Kid. And he said, find the audio where I said he was great. Have you found that audio? I'm not sure.
I haven't found it yet, but it's going to take some time. I told you it's going to take some time. I'm looking.
I feel like OJ is searching for the real killer.
You have not looked yet.
I have looked. I've listened to two pods, Brian. And also, I forgot to mention the other day, just wanted to throw in there, aside from all the whatever, that Fairleigh Dickinson won a total of four games last year. So throw that in there too.
It's a huge upset. There's no question about it. I don't know how you want to get it.
But as was the year before with St. Peter's, as was the year before with North Texas.
I think when you have a force as the Dayton Pep band behind you, I think everything's off. You might as well get the point spread out of there. It doesn't really matter.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Spread, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about why Harry hates coaches so much. And I was like, is it possible? And maybe we shouldn't even say this aloud in public, but were you like fondled by your snow angel making coach in Oswego? And could that be it, Brian? That's why he never finished a sport in any of these 17 sports. He never got a letter. Like
Jay Wright's a great coach.
Upstate.
Jay Wright.
It's definitely possible from Oswego. Or
right.
I mean, exactly. he did defend Bernie Fine for many years. Listen,
yes, that's true.
Not convicted of anything. By the way, but I'll say, Jay Wright's a great coach. How about another one I forgot in the NFL when we're going over NFL stuff? Joe Gibbs. Three Super Bowls in 10 years with three different quarterbacks. Great coach.
Okay.
I like a couple.
All right. He likes two. Two coaches were able to break through.
It was a hell of a coach.
That's great. Landry, great. Jimmy Johnson, not great, though.
Jimmy Johnson was great, no doubt.
Oh wow. Parlay Kid, we've doubled the list already.
Jerry Jones screwed him.
Okay. All right. There you go. Let's switch your team
was his team.
Let's go over these games here Thursday. Right, enough nonsense here. Michigan State, Kansas State. I think we were all surprised that the higher ranked or the lower ranked Michigan State Spartans were favored by two over Kansas State. 137.5 is the over under. I feel like we overcorrected this Tom Izzo influence thing. He is better in between rounds one and two and in between rounds three and four historically. I feel like this break maybe hurt them a little bit. The Wildcats have scored 75 or more in the two games. Michigan State allowed only 62, haven't allowed more than 62. So it's a clash. You're going to see all these matchups are this, right? High flying offense against stellar defense, but I'm going with Marquez Nowell. I know Harry likes him a little bit for a prop there. 44 points and 23 assists in two games. You have to love the guard play. You also have to love the fact that Michigan State 1-6 against the spread in their last seven against Big 12 opponents, while Kansas State, Wildcats 5-1 in the last six against the number versus Big Ten opponents. I like this Coach Tang. I have a good feeling about this guy making a run. He puts a dagger through the essence of the Big Ten, which has been terrible aside from this Michigan State run. 71-63 Parlay Kid. What do you say, birthday boy? You with me?
I'm right here with you. And I think the reason why the Big Ten struggles for the most part in this tournament is because they just don't get the athletes that some of these other conferences get. They're more of grinded out teams. Listen, Izzo's a great coach. I hate going against Izzo. Absolutely hate it.
Oh, now Izzo's a great coach. Oh, now. Oh, wow. All right.
I'm going on record as saying Izzo is a great coach.
Harry, do you even agree with that? I wonder.
And it's been 21 years since he won his only title, but still, he's a good coach. Okay.
He is a great coach. Okay. So the guard play dictates this matchup. It's going to be an interesting matchup, too, because some of the top players here are right from New York City itself. And we're going to see players from the top players from Michigan State and Kansas State battling it out on their home turf. A lot of fun here. I just think Kansas State right now is peaking at the right time. Not that Michigan State isn't. Kansas State a little bit too athletic for Michigan State. They get the job done here, so I'll take them on the money line.
Yeah, Brian, Joey Hauser, I strike him as a player. I don't know, and you've never mentioned him to me, I don't think. I strike him as a player who annoys you.
He does.
No?
He does. Okay, no, good. He does. Like, if I if I go against Michigan State and he has a big game, he annoys me. I will say every time I've taken Michigan State, Hauser has not had a good game over the last few years.
Right.
And it's very possible Hauser's also, like, 27 years old. I don't even know. I don't know his age, but it's very possible he's that old for this team.
Okay. Yeah, it might be. But you're going with another player prop, right?
Yeah, Michigan State. Yeah, I'm going to take Tyson Walker over 14 and a half. He was huge in the game versus Marquette. He went for 23. He'll need another big game here for Michigan State to have a chance to win in this one. But he's had 15 or more in five of his last seven. In non-conference games earlier in the year, he had some big games, especially against the likes of, like, Alabama. So I look for him to be the guy. Hauser's a little... I don't know. He's a little too unreliable, I feel like, for me offensively. I was looking at his numbers, which are kind of, it's comparable to Walker. But yeah, I liked Walker a little bit more because he'll have the ball in his hands. And I think this is the type of game, there should be a decent amount of offense in this game. I was actually, you know, the 137 and a half maybe seems high, but I think it could go a little bit over here. But I'm going to say Walker. Yeah, Walker gets to like 16, 17 this one.
Yeah, I feel like with the, and you know, we'll go through it. Like I said, high power offense versus shutdown defenses. Take your pick. I think the over-unders are going to be off by 10 points one way or the other in a couple or three of these games. So, Harry, I mentioned Marquez Knowles been a stud in the first couple of rounds.
Really has. And I'm going to go over 6 assists, minus 110 with him. Look, no fear in this guy. The game against Kentucky, he's going between his legs, behind his back, no look passes. And I know Izzo and the squad can do their best to slow the game down, but Noel still had 9 assists versus Kentucky and 14 in his first round game against Montana State. He's actually recorded, forget about 6. He's had 8 or more in 6 of his last 7 games. I'm going over 6 against Michigan State.
All right. Next game, UConn minus 4, 140 versus Arkansas. I'm worried in this one. I don't know. Is Coach Musselman playing strip basketball here? The shirt comes off. He upsets UConn. And then who knows? Maybe the testicles are bouncing off the floor at T-Mobile Arena. I don't know what's going on. But it is weird to think that UConn, I'm reading the line here, Harry, something I know you like to do. UConn a bigger favorite over the Razorbacks than number one seed Kansas was. Now, we saw how that went. Arkansas won the game, so... Why is UConn minus 4? Kansas was 3.5. I don't know. This UConn team is interesting. They had a crazy up and down season, right? They won their first 14 amongst us. They thrash Alabama, the overall one seed, and then they lose 6 of 8. I think they're barely sniffing the top 25 after that. Now they're back to December form. These guys are shooters. I think they have 4 different guys who've put up 100 threes this year. Jordan Hawkins has made 95, Alex Karabin 61, and Sanago in the middle, 6'9". Not a huge guy, but presents matchup difficulties for this Arkansas team. I trust the senior guard, Tristan Newton. He's going to go against Anthony Black, who is more trouble matching up, especially with a back injury. Again, fishy line. I'm tossing the fish back in the pond. UConn 73, Razorbacks 61. Parley kid, you're going against me here, huh?
Yeah, I might be the only one here, maybe, Sal. I'll take Arkansas just straight up on the money line in this game. This is a very intriguing matchup, and these really are all great matchups, I think, we're going to see the next couple days. So really fun. I really love the coaching matchup here. I love Hurley versus Musselman, and I don't know where the edge goes to this. I know some people don't like Musselman's theatrics, but I think his team plays loose and they play hard. And I think that might be the difference in this game for this team. Arkansas started off the season playing some great basketball. Then really from from the beginning to about midpoint to the season, they were one of the top 5 or 10 teams in college basketball. Struggled from halfway point to the end of the season, but now have seemed to find their early season stride again. And their early season swagger here. They got 3 pro prospects on this team. I think the talent is rising to the top here. And I think the talent and the enthusiasm that this team plays with gets it done, taking Arkansas on the money line here, Sal.
Harry, we were in Vegas. We saw Henderson native Todd Furman, my former Lock It In co-host there. Mm-hmm. Boy, he was at war with Musselman. Remember a few years ago? I forgot what he said. Yes. I forgot what he said. And then Musselman like went after him and posted him talking about Musselman. It was crazy. And then I got Furman cameo from Musselman without Musselman knowing. It all nonsensical. But anyway, yeah, you should praise Coach Killer, at least in that instance, Todd Furman, for standing up to Musselman and then backing right down like a little girl.
Yeah. Todd did love, but he did like Arkansas like what against does. Kansas. He told us he liked it. And I'm gonna go with UConn with you, Sal, too. I think Hurley's done a tremendous job with this. Dan Hurley's done a tremendous job with this team. 6-11 career winning percentage. The last nine wins, UConn, last nine wins, eight of them by 9 points or more, which includes both tournament games by double digits. You mentioned Sanago, Sal, Adama Sanago. He's averaging 26 and 11 in the tournament. Definitely presents problems inside for Arkansas. Guy clogs up the middle. And Arkansas, I think I mentioned to you too last week, Sal. Arkansas, very fortunate in their win against Kansas. They shot only 41% when Kansas shot 48%. Only shot 20% from three. Kansas was 39%. Still somehow Kansas lost that game. Again, Razorbacks very fortunate. I think UConn is a stronger team, especially with what you saw in the second half against St. Mary's. They totally dominated that second half, especially in the middle. I like UConn to go win this one going away.
All right, there you go. Brother Bry, God bless you. Another player prop
here. Yeah, another player prop. I figured I'd change it up. I do like Arkansas getting 3.5, though. Just something about them at this time of year.
I mean, this would be three straight grade eight appearances, right, for Musselman?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go against Musselman at this point. I'm taking Nick Smith Jr., even though I have Arkansas getting the points, I'm taking Nick Smith Jr. from Arkansas under 12.5 points. You know, when Parley Kid was talking about prospects, he's one of the guys here. And this has a chance to backfire on me because he is a really good prospect, but he battled injuries all year long. He struggled so far in the tournament. He's gone 2 of 14 from the field. He's 8 of 34 over his last three games from the field. But he struggled so much in that Kansas game that Musselman actually benched him in the second half. Mm-hmm. He didn't even play him in the second half. So it's possible if he starts off rough again in this type of game, again, a different environment here. 12.5, I think, to me is a little bit too high for a guy who's had 6 points in the last two games. So I'm going under 12.5.
I love these games. I love these for the first two, right? Thursday. Yeah. But I did these in order, right? 6:30 and 7:15 tips, so they'll overlap.
Yep.
And then the two night games. We'll get to those after a quick break and give Caesar some love. Caesar Sportsbook. It's not just an app. It's a whole empire. Iconic casinos, hotels, world-class restaurants. It's all yours with Caesar's Rewards because every bet you place, win or lose, earns reward credits, which you can redeem for hotel stays at over 50 destinations, meals, tickets, merch, bonuses, and more. Get started today. Create an account with promo code OMAHAFULL. OMAHAFULL.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Babyface with news on the cameo front. Coach Musselman, is this true, Babyface? What are you saying?
Yeah, I looked at the receipt, and he has not changed his price in 2 years. So good job by you, Coach Musselman.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
No, nice.
No inflation. He might just be someone. He might not have done one since the Todd Furman one. Who knows? So just may not have checked his account. All right. So this is now Thursday evening. Tennessee, 5.5-point favorite. 130.5 is the over-under. Florida Atlantic. Basically, this is a bunch of bully seniors versus flashy sophomores. And I'm going with the young guns here. I think they have a little destiny on their side. They beat Memphis. We talked about it the other day in a ridiculous ending. Then they draw Fairleigh Dickinson miraculously. Some might say they're lucky, but I feel like there's always a team like this that survives two rounds later than they should. And FAU's built like a team that could get hot and not look back. They're top 15 in the nation in three-point attempts. You could look up and the score will be 32-20. You'd be like, oh, what the hell happened? Now, Tennessee was crazy physical against Deuce. Crazy physical. I don't know if the refs are going to call this or let it go or if this gets in the way in everybody's head, but they do fail to score a lot of points. They really do. I think they revert back to pre-tourney Vols, who struggled to score without Ziegler at the point guard position. They barely top 200 in scoring without him. Owls can hang 1-1 in the SEC against SEC teams. They beat Florida this year. You know, I think it's a little bit high scoring game than Rick Barnes is used to. 70-67 final. Take the 5.5, Parlay Kid. You're with me.
No, you know, Sal, I'm changing my mind here, Sal.
What?
I'm sorry. You know, I'm changing my mind.
It's your birthday. We'll let you do it just this once.
Yeah, I'm changing my mind, you know.
What did I say that made you go the other way?
No, you know what? Everything you said, you know, I'm not going to argue it.
Right.
But here's the factor to me, right? FAU shoots a lot of threes.
Mm-hmm.
That's their game. Tennessee is the best team in the country at defending the three.
Right.
Especially now, as you said, losing Ziegler, you thought would have really hurt this team, but it's not, especially now that they're starting four guys, or they're putting four guys who get major playing time on their court, 6'6" or above. Their length is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to really shut down this FAU offense. I think they're going to present problems. They're going to keep being physical. FAU, let's face it, Sal, they've been very fortunate to get by Memphis. They draw Fairleigh Dickinson, which Fairleigh Dickinson closed the gap on them, too. They almost could have won that game. This is a team with a great record, but it's just not at the level of a Tennessee. Tennessee's height and length, especially, and their defensive intensity, win this game. Tennessee pulls away late.
Mm.
FAU will hang around for a while. The physicality will get to them. Eventually, Tennessee wins this game by 8-plus points, just pulling away in the last, 10 minutes of that game.
Mm. You know, I kind of feel the Dayton Pep Band should play for FAU, like whoever, and just keep going. If FAU loses, then they play for Tennessee. If FAU continues, they play for FAU, right? I mean, that should be the deal.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
They're the band of this tournament. All right, Harry, are you changing your mind also, or you had Florida Atlantic?
No, I'm with you, Sal. I'm going to take the Owls. I don't think they're going to back down to the Vols. Tennessee is a dog. Is good like they were against Duke, but I just don't like them. I just don't like them as a favorite. I don't think they're very good as a favorite. And FAU, just three losses all season. Tennessee, to close the regular season and in the SEC tournament, last 12 games was 5-7 overall. And for FAU, John L. Davis, he scored 18 points. He's the key here. 18 points or more in three of his last four games, had 29 against FDU. I think FAU hangs.
Yeah, I this might just be a Clay Travis bias, but I also bet Tennessee a lot this year. I was probably 1-4, 1-5 betting them this year. So I don't know. Maybe take me out of the equation. Brother Bri, again, player prop. Yeah, I think this kind of a prop like this kind of has to happen for what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I will say, look, if Tennessee makes it to the Final Four, we are probably all screwed. Dollar wise, right? I mean, they've already cost us. Yeah. You and I had, you know, Duke advancing, Tennessee not. Stop. This is just, I know, we just keep going against them here.
I'll have Michigan State or Kansas State against them for sure. No question.
That's what I'm saying. Taking Santiago Viscovi over 2.5 threes for Tennessee here. They don't have not a ton of scoring options for this team. I feel like it's a different guy kind of every game. But Viscovi has been great for Tennessee from three, and he'll shoot it plenty. Mm. He's had three or more threes in 10 of his last 12 games. There's also, there's also the possibility he could, you know, get hot and hit four or five, maybe even more. But I thought three is a good number for him because he's been pretty consistent with that all season long.
All right. And in the nightcap, this is the one everyone's been waiting for. UCLA, 1.5-point favorite over Gonzaga. Fun one. The 2 versus 3, 145.5 is the over. Hey, we're racing a 10 with this game. We're going to do this. This is what? So this is a 9:45 Eastern tip. And then we're going to 10:30. We're going to do a podcast. This game will still be playing, but we're racing to 10. Parley Kid, it's your birthday. Normally I would let Brother Bri pick, but he also has the team that I don't like. So we're going to let you pick
the race to 10. That's a mistake, nice. Sal. I should not be picking this. Yeah.
Well,
You can do it, D.
I can bring Dr. Morris back on. He could pick it.
I will say, even though I like, I'll say I like the Zags here, but I do like UCLA. First 10.
All right. Parley Kid, you want to make it official? UCLA first to 10?
That's who I was going to ride with, UCLA first 10. All right. So at least I know I got Brother Bri's backing there on that. So.
All right. Bam. Well, talk us through it. I'll give you my my backup info for UCLA, but I do like him to win this in convincing way. What do you think, Parley Kid?
Yeah, this is an interesting pick for me because I feel bad about this because on our contest, I had the Zags.
Right.
Somehow winning this game, even though I've been with UCLA, I feel like since the tournament started, I think I made those picks a little too early before I had time to think about it. Now, looking back, I'm a big Mick Cronin fan, Sal. I don't know how many of them are out there. Maybe it's because he's got no hair like me, and maybe I got a little soft spot for him. But I think he's a heck of a coach. And of course, we know Gonzaga's coaching staff is unbelievably good too. This feels like a Final Four matchup to me, like Gonzaga, UCLA. I think this is like such a big game in a Sweet 16 matchup here. I feel like this game should be for a bigger stage, like a Final Four. I think these two teams are amongst the elite.
Maybe they'll cut basketball. Down the nets. What a move that would be if they cut down the nets after this one.
2021.
Boy, it's a shame that one of these teams has to go home after this game. Really, that's how I look at it. I think UCLA with Tiger Campbell playing the point. He just very efficient. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to score. He gets his teammates involved. I just think UCLA is just a slightly, again, when we talk about athletes, I think they got one or two more athletes than this Zags team. I hate to see the Zags go. Fortunately, if the Zags do win, I got them in our contest, I don't want that to happen. This is a total Harry move, and I'm being very transparent. But that's why I've been transparent from the beginning about it.
That's not a Harry move, right? That part of it is not. Yes,
I'm being transparent. Good I messed you. Up there on my picks, but no regrets. Well, UCLA, though. I'm rooting for the UCLA.
That'll be a
all
fun
the way.
One.
That's my team. This one. That's what I'm going for. So you should be rooting for UCLA too, Sal. They're right in your backyard. They're right in your backyard.
They're a little further. My backyard is small, but they're a little back there a little. But I jumped the gun a little bit. I jumped on Damashek's nonsense with the blue bloods and maybe UCLA should be banished. But they actually have done. They can't be banished from the blue blood group. The original. We're trying to figure out if it's a 5 or 6 team blue bloods. Bri, what do you? I talked about it with Tate yesterday. You go Duke, North Carolina,
Kentucky,
and UCLA, and who are we missing? Who's the
Kansas?
Are those is that the top tier blue blood group? And then you got Michigan State, Indiana, and Gonzaga in the second. I mean, I was saying Gonzaga should be able to strip UCLA of their blue blood if they win this game. But UCLA made the Final Four in 4 of the last 16 years. They made the Grade 8 and the Sweet 16, a bunch in there. I they've done better than we think.
They had that bad stretch, right, in between.
Right.
Probably like sometime between like Westbrook being on the team and then like right.
Yeah, probably about 12 years ago, 10, 12 years. Yeah, right in there. But as Harry mentioned, 93-90 barn burner a couple years ago in the Final Four. Now, a couple of those guys are back, Jaquez and Campbell, right? They remember. Yeah. This Gonzaga team is not as good as that. I know they have Drew Timme. But, and again, high octane offense. I think Gonzaga's 34th in pace versus UCLA, 253rd. Right. The over-under's 145.5. Only Texas Xavier is higher. But TCU put up 81 versus the Zags. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring chances for the Bruins. They've only allowed two of the last 10 teams to score over 70 points. That defense is great. Bailey and Campbell, very handsy. Jaquez had five steals and a half. I don't know if you could bet this, but Drew Timme in foul trouble. Look for him. 12:38 left in the first half. He'll have his second foul. I'm going UCLA. It's a small favorite. They're 20-12. They win this comfortably, 84-71. All right, Brian, let's hear about you.
Well, I think this you bring up some points here. I think this is part of the problem, right? Which makes it so difficult with the UCLA team. We don't know how the officials are going to be calling this game. Same with Tennessee, right? If they call a tight game, it's bad for UCLA. It's bad for Tennessee. I kind of feel like the opposite too. I could see Timme getting some of their guys in foul trouble as well. Hmm. But I'm going to take the Zags plus two. I do think, like we were talking about in race to 10, I do think they get off to this poor start, which they've been for a while now. They struggled early on in these games in the first two in the tournament. But then they've had stretches where they've played really well after it. So I do think UCLA is up early. Gonzaga makes a run. But this Gonzaga team, again, they've won 11 straight. They are a veteran team along with UCLA, right? A lot of old guys on these teams. It's possible the Pac-12 is a little overrated when we look back at this. I mean, obviously that Arizona team we thought was really good, but Pac-12 in general. But both teams, it's funny, you look back at their performances out of conference, And both teams struggled a little bit. The one thing I will say is Gonzaga had that big win over Alabama here. So I'm going to take Gonzaga. You could tell me they've been terrible against the spread in the tournament for the last couple of years. But it's funny, though. I could see this game playing out anyway. I think this is likely going over, even though UCLA's defense. But I feel like the range of scoring in this game is anywhere from like 130-190. This could be really high scoring too, but Gonzaga.
Yeah, well, that's
Gonzaga
what I'm saying with these over unders.
Yeah, like
you're
said,
if you bet adjusted over unders in these games, and you know you get the right side. Obviously, that's the key to get the right side. But you get some plus 180s, plus 220s.
This is a tough one. This is a real tough though. I'm looking forward to this game though, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Babyface, what do you think of this game?
I mean, I'm with you guys. I think it could be Timme time late in the second half, and that's kind of when UCLA could be in trouble. But speaking of Drew Timme, I don't know who's in first with right now, but Kappa Consequences, that could be a good Kappa Consequences, a Drew Timme mustache you have to have for a month, maybe.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know.
Interesting indeed.
Just a thought. I could see Bri having to go to meetings with this mustache. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
It's possible.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, Bri.
And going to meetings. Right.
Harry goes to a lot of meetings. So you can see why he'd be upset.
Harry, the guy who can't even look up a podcast to find some stats.
I know. Right. Joel, I think it was June of 2019. Check it out. Hey, I'll say this, another thing. Drew Timme's mother, Megan Timme, has been, they show her a lot in the crowd. She's pretty big on social media. And the Megans want her on their podcast because we can never have enough Megans. We wanted a third Megan. And I DM Megan Timme and I look like this creepy stalker and she's not getting back. Nothing. Nothing, just crickets. See that baby face? I didn't even tell you about that. That should have been a detail.
She probably doesn't want to jinx her son or something.
That might be it. All right. Yeah. Well, we could have her Friday after he's lost, after they're done out of the tournament. Harry, you have you have Drew Timme over 18.5. I looked at this.
Yeah.
His numbers, not obviously over the last two games, but really right around 18, 17, 17 in their WCC tournament, right?
True, right. But it just in big games, he shows up. I mean, he averaged 21 this season. You mentioned 21 versus GCU. 28 versus TCU. He had 25 points or more in the Zags' three NCAA tournament games last year. And in 2021, in four of his last five tournament games there, 22 or more, which includes, we just mentioned, the Final Four game against UCLA, where he had 25 as a big game here over 18.5.
Yeah, I'm looking at the big games. Texas 18, Kentucky 22, Baylor 9. Bama 29. I got that. That was a crazy game. That was 100-90. Mm-hmm. So looking at the
tournament games, all right there.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on. All right, let's take a break, and then we're going to repick our West and East regionals when we return.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, I'll make this quick. In the West, I really feel like it's either UCLA. Man, this is tough. And we from the beginning, I said the West was the toughest, and that was before any upsets, yes. Right? And so, but even if they go against UConn, Arkansas, that's not going to be an easy game for the winner of UCLA, Gonzaga. So I'm not as stoked about that as when I put it in before the tournament. I got plus 330 on UCLA to win the region. Full transparency as it is, Parlay Kid. I also took Kansas at plus 330. I'm like, oh, one of these two is winning it. Right now, Kansas does not look good for that regional victory. But UCLA plus 210. I'm going to stick with it. That's my pick. Parlay Kid, you're sticking with it too?
Yeah, well, I had UCLA going all the way, so I have to stick with UCLA here. Mm-hmm. I do worry about the grind of this game against the Zags. I wonder emotionally if the winner comes out of this game like emotionally spent and having to turn around and play back on Saturday so quickly, if that will be a factor, but maybe not. I mean, it's anybody that's winning right now, you got to think that it's all they're going to be running on adrenaline for the next few weeks as they keep winning. But that did cross my mind. I think UCLA right now, they get by the Zags. They should be the team to advance, Sal. So I like them to get by the Zags. I'd like them to go very far in this tournament. So let's stay with UCLA at pretty good value still here.
They'll have fans in Vegas too, if it gets to that, right? More so than UConn,
this
I think.
This is true.
Or Arkansas. All right, Brother Bri, going right against us there.
Yeah, well, I have to. I mean, I picked the Zags getting the two mm-hmm. points of that other game, but Zags were the team I took to win the tournament when we gave this out originally. So I'm sticking with that. It's plus 225. I'm worried about those numbers a little bit here. Plus 225 doesn't seem so great. I wonder if you're better off. What do you think? You're better off taking the plus 225 or taking them to win this game is about plus 115. Trying to think. I guess they're going to be favorites. The winner of this game, I guess, is the favorite automatically in the next game by 4 points, right?
By four. Oh, I don't know. Over UConn? Well, if UConn and Kansas were both essentially the same favorite over Arkansas, I don't know how it'll be. I think it'll be.
Small, I feel like it's still like a two. Three. You think? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe you're right. Maybe three.
Yeah,
or
but I guess 225. I guess 225 is right. I was just trying to think if you could get better value taking the games, but maybe not. But I do think, you know, again, the Zags just a veteran team. Maybe this is finally the time, when we're, we used to always overrate them a little bit. Maybe we're underrating the Zags so far. Maybe, I think TCU is a tough team. So the fact that they played so well in the second half against them, I think, I still like them to win this region.
How did we not on Monday talk about that as bad a beat as you could get? The TCU cover with the kid rolling it down the floor. Parlay Kid, he could have, so they're up seven, the Zags. They're laying, what, 5.5, 5, 4.5, doesn't matter. There's 0.7 left. First of all, to foul with 0.7 left down seven is an atrocity. But then they roll the ball in. Now, usually you could roll it about 20 feet before a defender steps up and forces the guy to pick it up. But this could have rolled This could have rolled out of the arena. They didn't give a crap, yes. Gonzaga.
Yep.
And so the kid picks it up right before the three-point line, gathers and shoots, which some say, I don't know, maybe that's a little longer than 0.7, nails it, and you hear a collective, oh, from the crowd.
I know.
Obviously, it didn't matter towards the game, but they win by 4. And what a cover by TCU, parlay kid. They almost should advance because of that.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about that, but that was devastating for some people. Not me, thank goodness, but...
Yeah.
That's definitely a terrible beat or total opposite. The greatest win you could have ever had, pretty much.
Yeah. By the way, that people were like, oh, buzzer beater, you lose. I'm like, no, it has to affect the outcome of the game. People just really want me to lose that buzzer
beater.
Joel
said that? Joel said that?
Yeah, I think Joel did. Yeah, Joel was wrong. Mistaken about it. All right, let's Harry, and you have UConn.
Yeah, I'm going to take UConn at +210 again. Sonogo is a guy who can dominate the inside and dominate a game like he did against St. Mary's over the weekend. The birthday boy mentioned, too, I think Zags and UCLA, high-octane offense type of game. Maybe they beat each other up a bit. Maybe the winner doesn't have a lot to give in the championship game against a physical UConn team. We'll take what UConn. Listen, by the way, Sal, we're in Vegas last week. Boy, we should be in Vegas again this week. These are two tremendous matchups. Be a lot of fun to go into those games this weekend. Yeah.
All right, you can go back. I ran out of $10 bill. Believe me, I'd be there every day if we could. It's a lot of fun. The East Regional, I'm going to go with Kansas State +350. It was actually a little higher as of yesterday, but +350. And I'm banking on a little bit of an upset in the Tennessee-FAU game, as I talked about. If that happens and K-State advance, I'm sitting pretty with K-State +350 in a game they're going to be favored in. Theoretically, I could hedge. Of course, I never, ever will. But anyway, a lot has to happen. Again, I get big story with Coach Tang, predicted to finish 10th in the Big 12. He's always this far. I think they win again. The only thing I worry about, Harry, Noel and Keontae Johnson, either one getting in foul trouble early because they really are a two-man show. They scored 75 of the team's 152 points so far. So, but it's a show I'm backing at +350. That's my pick. Parley Kid, you like him also.
Yeah, I have Kansas State going to the Final Four, Sal, so I'm definitely riding with them. I actually, no matter who they play in the next round, I like their next round matchup better than I do this round. So I think you get by this one. I feel very good about this call right now. And I do think they get by this one, but this to me right here against the Tom Izzo Spartans is might present the more difficult matchup for them. After that, it could be smooth sailing for them, Sal. Yeah. So K-State... fun team. I'm kind of on them too right now. I'd love to see them keep winning.
All right. Harry, you're going with Tom Izzo, one of the many coaches you don't think is any good, but you're backing him. You have to back some. Everyone has a coach, so I guess you have to go with one team.
I think Izzo is an excellent coach. Three to one. I think Michigan State should be a little higher, though, but he still gets the best out of what he has for his team year in, year out, makes opponents play his way, his style. Spartans also playing, you know, with heavy hearts with what happened on the MSU campus in Michigan a month ago. Tyson Walker and Joey Hauser averaging 14-plus a game. Darren mentioned got a lot of guys from, New York area. Tyson Walker from Westbury, Long Island.
You think he doesn't know that, Harry?
I don't know. But K-State also kind of new territory for them being in this situation. And take a shot with Michigan State.
All right. Now, Bri, I was looking at if you go game by game with your pick, Florida Atlantic. But if they win, they might not. I think the odds makers would be like, okay, this is a for real team.
Well, I think you're banking on that, right? FAU +420. I mean, I do like them to win this region. To my point before, I would play this on a game by game basis because they're +195, right? Mm-hmm. So that means even if they were even the next game, you're better off taking that, right? Because that gets you closer to 5-1. So if they're a +120, it's significantly better, you know. So I would play this a game by game basis. But again, FAU, this team's fun to watch, and you know what? I've said this before the tournament started, like something was going to be a mess here. One of these regions was going to be a mess. I mean, this was the one we thought could be a little bit out of whack with Purdue here. In this region, I really think anything can happen here. So I do like this, you know, this FAU team 33-3 on the season. I can easily see this being a really weird Final Four.
Listen, we said East and West was going to be the toughest. I think we all agreed. Now, for Friday's games, when we do this Thursday night, we're going to have surefire winners. This is not going to be even close. We'll give them out. No worry at all. Speaking of value in bets, we talked about it the other day. Might have even talked about it last week, and then I went on Tate Frazier. I said Quinterly for Alabama for most outstanding player. Really good odds, really good value. I think they pass on Brandon Miller, who's the obvious favorite at plus 370. But now I'm looking at Quinterly, and he's moved to 20-1. When we gave it out, it was 34-1. So Javon Quinterly at 20-1. Mm-hmm. He was the SEC tournament champ, MVP 2 years ago. So let's stick with that. I would also add, did we talk about Jaquez and Timme for most outstanding? 12-1 and 16-1 is pretty good for either of them getting that far. So lots of fun. Lots of fun. There we go. And so Parlay Kid, that was your birthday in a nutshell. We want to thank.
That's over now.
Dr. Morris, that's it. We have Dr. Morris come on every year to play a little tune. Happy birthday tune.
He's a legend. He is the real deal. Legend, that guy.
Yeah, the real deal.
Real deal.
Well, Parlay Kid, you told us you had to see the doctor, and we brought the doctor to you. So that's congratulations, right. You're good.
That's your appointment.
He's amazing. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Awesome. Happy birthday to the Parlay Kid. We will be racing to 10 Thursday night. We'll do it on Twitter. We have UCLA, slight favorite, right? They'll be what, Brian Plott, minus 120 over
over
Gonzaga?
Yep.
Just to 10. Then you could tune out. You don't have to watch the rest of the game, but you should. It's going to be a good one. And that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, for Dr. Willie Morris and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na.